By way of introduction, first of all, I'm not going to be using a particular text that is a textbook. What I've attempted to do is to write all the material, frankly, because I feel that I want to make it as easy for you as possible. The pain sometimes becomes so great, especially when you have the opportunity to open up a textbook and then see that the first page gives you a basic introduction, the second page has the alphabet, and then when you turn to the third page, they're already starting in on the basics of Greek. And the reason for that is because most textbooks are designed to teach the subject on a daily basis. In other words, you have usually in college, it's taught on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. In some colleges, it's taught every day. And it is a four-hour class, which means that it would be a four-hour week. So you'd have it Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. And we have the unfortunate situation where we're only going to have it once a week. So with that, I had to make it as easy as possible and yet not make it so easy that you don't learn anything and that we're just wasting our time. Another thing, and these were all the things I was trying to think of before I came here tonight, having written the material, it's taking me a lot of work, obviously, beyond what I normally would do, but I'm enjoying it because it's at least reviewing some of the basics in my mind. But I wish I could be totally optimistic for you, which means that some of you are going to say to yourself, it's too much, and you'll spin out. Don't. You know, stay with it. I'm not going to burden you with a lot of technical facts. I tried that in the past. It doesn't work. Diana, of course, this is probably her fourth Greek class, and she has seen it go from 30 to 20 to 10 to 5 to Diana. And so don't let anything discourage you. Another thing is that the class is going to be held very, very informally, which means as I'm going along, if you have any questions, you know, shoot up your hand and say, question, and let's discuss it. Because the question you may have may be in the mind of someone else, and they're too shy to ask the question. You don't be shy. Ask the question. And that way we'll be able to answer, hopefully, any particular question you might have. But don't ask a question that we're not dealing with. That rather annoys me. You know, what's the exegesis of Hebrews chapter 13 when we're not dealing with that at all? I guess the next thing would be that we're not going to be Greek scholars when we get through with this. You will have a general familiarization of the Greek language. And as such, I'm hoping that by the time we get through with this class, you'll be able to pick up a Greek New Testament, and you'll be able to pick out words, because one of the tasks will be to build your vocabulary. And from time to time, I will give you a vocabulary list. I'll make them up, and that way you can post them somewhere, and you have all week to learn them. Some of the things that we're going to learn have little clues, little things within them that identify themselves. Others are going to be strictly rote memorization. You're just going to have to memorize certain things. And that means, and I'll give you plenty of time for that, it's going to be rather simple. Example being, in the case of nouns, all nouns have different endings. And you're going to have to learn the basic endings of each noun before you can identify a noun. Verbs, the same thing. We'll start off with all the easy stuff, and then we'll get more and more complex. But once you get by the first part and you've memorized that, then the rest, you'll see that there are definite clues that help you to identify. There are still words, quite frankly, in the 30 years that I've been dealing with the Greek language from the New Testament that I still have to look up. I look at the word and I say, what's that? And I got to get the book out. Now, as far as helps are concerned, my wife suggested that I don't suggest these, only because I didn't find out whether or not they were still available. But I'm going to suggest them anyway. The one, these actually go together, by the way. The one is a Greek-English dictionary of the New Testament. And you can see it's not very thick. It has every Greek word in its root form that's found in the New Testament. Now, I particularly have this in my computer, and so I can do so by just simply typing in the word, and it comes right up. The word is written in Greek, and then it has the definition in English. If I remember correctly, I bought both of these as a pair for less than $10. But then it goes back a few years. They are both put out, I believe, by the United Bible Society. And if you're interested in getting either one of these, the other is a Greek New Testament with no English. Any English that you'll have is not going to help you. So if you have an interlinear, it is not going to help you learn Greek because you're going to cheat. You know, you're going to go, you're going to do one of these. You'll drop your eyes down to see what the word means. And it certainly won't give you that vocabulary buildup that you need. If nothing else, you can see it's a kind of a cheapy thing. It's plastic, okay? And I think this was like $6 and this was like $4 at the time. And if one of you or some of you are interested in getting this, I could call on Monday to find out whether Arizona College of the Bible still makes them available. And if so, we could gather some money and send someone down here and pick up a bunch. Okay? Dictionary, New Testament. The New Testament, by the way, does have some critical analyses down at the bottom. You won't bother yourself with that. But the print is real good. Let me pass this around. The print is real good. Well, pass both of them. And it's easy to read. It's clear. Some Greek texts are not very clear. And they're difficult. This is good. I like it. We use that in college, and I found it extremely important to have a Greek text that I could read without squinting or straining or whatever. Another thing you must realize is we're not dealing with letters that are letters that we normally use. This language is made up of the Cyrillic alphabet. The Cyrillic alphabet, as you know, is very much different from English. If you've taken Spanish, you could read Spanish words because they're written with what? With Roman characters or English characters, with the exception of the accents and so on, and the question mark beginning the sentence as opposed to ending the sentence. And even in the area of punctuation, it's not the same. Example, the semicolon in English is the Greek question mark. Okay? They don't have this business that we do in English. The simple dot on the top is the quotation. There are no quotation marks in the Greek language. When there's a quote, it just simply has a dot. The comma and the period are the same. So there you don't have any difficulty. And we will use as much English as we can where it fits. Any language has to have alphabet. And first of all, if you look very quickly from 1 to 24, you'll note that there are two letters missing. That really is not a good analysis. Because somebody asked me to do this years ago, and it's an impossibility. What they asked me to do was give me the equivalent. They'd say A, A, B, B, C, C, and so on. You can't do that because you're dealing with two different languages completely. And so you're going to have to build a part of your brain that is going to be strictly Cyrillic, strictly Greek, and you'll think in that area and that area alone. And you can do it. It's not a matter of putting your mind to it. It's just simply a matter of realizing for instance, look at 8. You have the TH sound, and it's one letter. Okay? There's nothing equivalent to that in English, except T and the H. But that's not a part of our alphabet. We don't have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, T, H, and so on. We have a T and an H. And then we combine them, and they come out like that. Okay? Then if you drop down a little further, you will see 22. There, the Greek symbol is the English X, but it's pronounced like the H of happy. It's a he. Now, I'm not going to stress gutturalization, because some of you are not going to be able to gutturalize a word. You'll get too German on me, or Hebrew, and that'll ruin it. So I would prefer that you just simply get rather choppy on it. Like, for example, in the third illustration, the third Greek word is gamma. Well, you'll say gamma, and that's fine. There is no real strong g sound in Greek. It's g. It's a very light guttural, but it's extremely difficult for somebody that hasn't spoken the language. What I thought we'd do this evening is go over the 24 letters of the Greek alphabet, give you their sounds, and then use them, for example, and I put words on the end. Incidentally, the first word on the list is misspelled. I left out an O. But that's okay. You're going to be able to read words before you're able to tell what that word means. All right? That's common. You'll be able to spell them out, and you'll be able to read them, and you'll say, what does that mean? That's where your vocabulary buildup will come. The second sheet that I gave you is designed primarily to get you used to writing the Greek language. So I probably should have made those lines longer. But what I simply want you to do there is write each one of these words. You have a week to do it. And then next to that, transliterate it back into English. Now, the first one, obviously, is going to be, you think, easy. But it really isn't. Let me illustrate it. The Greek word is ava. All right? So it's spelled alpha, vita, vita, alpha. Now, you would write it exactly the way it appears in the left-hand margin. When you transliterate it, it would be A, V, V, A, not B, B, A. Okay? The second word, of course, you would pronounce agathos. You would transliterate it A-G-A-T-H-O-S. And you notice that's the way I do it when I'm teaching. I'll write it in Greek and then write it in English in its transliterated form. That will get you to get used to going back from English to Greek and Greek to English. All right, let's go over some of the words that are here. What I'm going to do is pronounce the word, you listen to it, and then I'll give you the sound of the word. Somebody was trying to teach themselves Greek. It was quite humorous. And so they said to me, I've got the alphabet down, but I have some difficulty. And I said, what's that? And they said, when you're pronouncing a word, do you pronounce, for example, this is what the person wanted to do. Take the first word there, which should have been, by the way, apostolos. All right? So he thought, he looked at it, and the first letter is what? Alpha. He thought he had to pronounce alpha. Okay, well, in English, you see, we have A, B, B-E-E, C, D, E, F, E-F, okay? But they have phonetical sounds. He didn't realize that these were not the phonical sounds or phonetical sounds, but rather they were just simply names. Okay? And when the Greeks gave names to them, I'll show you later, they gave them names for a reason. Whereas in English, there doesn't appear to be any reasoning behind the name. What's an A? See? What's a D? D-E-E. All right. First letter, alpha. It has the phonetical sound A. For what it's worth, there is no long A in Greek. Okay? There's no long A in Greek. There's no long A Greek sound. So if you ever hear somebody pronouncing the Greek language and they give any word a long A sound, you'll know they're mispronouncing it. And I'll give you that a little bit later on. So it's a, as in a fortiori. Also recognize that it is it's rather short and then it's rather abrupt. A. It's not stretched out. Ah. Okay? You'd pronounce that alpha. Here it comes out. A alpha. It's not a real alpha. No, none of that drawn out stuff. Ah. Okay? Like in oh. See? Short. Okay. Alpha. The word next to it. Oh, the what I did there too is I gave you the capitals in that list and then the lowercase after as in. You see it? Now, in writing the word, rather writing the letter, remember I asked you to bring the line paper? This was the reason for that. Because some of the, there are two ways in which you can write this. Some people get ready very fancy. They go like this, and then they kind of go like that. Forget that. Just draw, make an A. Okay, like an English A, small case A. The capital would simply be like that. All right? Everything between the lines, nothing below the lines, except where they'll be below the lines, and we'll see that in a minute. All right, the second one corresponds with the English B, but it doesn't have a B sound. It has a V sound. And that is common, by the way, in other languages. I understand Spanish has that same potentiality. There are Bs that have a V sound. If you went to Bible school, incidentally, you learn wrong, as far as I'm concerned. I'm teaching you the pronunciation of modern Greek. And a modern Greek could pick up the New Testament that you have, that you're passing around, and could read it without any difficulty at all. If he has any education, he could translate it word for word. So it's not some hidden, mystique, mysterious, strange, forbidden language. It was the common language of the day, and that's why it's called Kenyi. Or, excuse me, Koine. See, this is mispronounced, this is mispronounced. It's not koine, it's ki, there's the diphthong, n-e, kenyi, this is a long e. And kenyi simply meant common to everyone on the street. It was the street language that they used. That's what they communicated with. For a long time, when they discovered the language, they thought it was some extra-biblical, heavenly, angelic language. Until they started doing archaeological finds, and they found that letters written by one person to another was written in the same language. People that communicated, the historians, wrote in this language. Books that were used in classroom situations for teaching anywhere from first graders up to college grads all used the same language. And so they finally decided that it wasn't some supernatural language, it was just simply the language of the street. Some words are made up. And we'll see that. When Paul had problems with the language, he just simply made up a new word. And from then on, it became a part of the Greek language as far as communicating as such. All right. Second letter is vita. Its sound is V, as in victory. Now, if you look at that word, assuming you know that the I has an I sound, and that upside down Y is actually an L, you'd pronounce that vivlos. Guess how it translates? Bible or book. See, we get our English word B-I-B-L-E from Biblos, which in fact is book or Bible, the book. I didn't put any articles in there because you're not supposed to know there are such things as articles yet. Number three is Gamma, and the pronunciation as far as the letter is concerned is a G, but since you are going to have problems with it, you use the G as in gun. Okay? Or gum. If you can slightly gutturalize it, do it. If you can't, don't worry about it. Just use the. As in the word yinyi for wife or woman. Try to memorize, by the way, the capitals. One thing encouraging, the Greeks very rarely use them. So you don't have any problem there. They don't even start sentences with them. They use them for proper names. The next one is a dental, okay? And it's pronounced as the D in dog. It's Velta. D. Okay? And you have the word there, Diakonos. See? Diakonos. Meaning? Deacon. D-I-A-K-A-N. Deacon. Okay? Next one is the Epsilon. Epsilon has the sound like E as in Edward. There's an easy one for you because in English you have the same thing. But the long E doesn't look like the English E at all. And what we do in English, you know, we write E's. And if we put two of them together, they have a long sound. You don't do that in Greek. If you want to make it a long sound, use a different letter altogether. Getting back to, by the way, I forgot to do this. The Vita looks like that. Slightly tail below the bottom in writing it. And you can see it if you look at it. You see that little tail sticking down there. It's important, by the way, when you write certain letters that have lines that go below, that you make sure, for example, this is the M, the me. Make sure that you connect this with this when you're writing it. Because there is a this, and that's an omega with a subscript. So this is an O and this is an M. So you can see if you're a little sloppy in your writing, you can have some problems. And we're going to deal primarily with printing, by the way. There'll be no writing done in this class. Okay? All printing. And basically, it will be in lowercase. Make it easy for you. The gamma falls below the line as the English G would, simply like that. It'd be written like this if you were writing it. Gamma. Good? The delta, like so. Kind of looks like an English S. Some people write it this way. I can't do that. I just simply go like this. Delta. Okay? This is the sound that we want. The. The epsilon, of course. Now, epsilon. You see the word psilon? That means something. Drop down to the last letter. Or better yet, look at 15. Let me show you something here. You see 15? O, micron. That's what? The small O. Look at the 24th letter. Omega, that's the big O. See? So you see, they did have reasoning behind giving each letter a name. Psilon, of course, meaning short. Some of them, I must admit, I don't know. Epsilon, as in Edward. The word there is ekvalo, meaning to what? Valo meaning to throw, ek out, to throw out. If you threw somebody out, you'd say, I ekvaloed them. Bad Greek, of course. The next one is a little sneaky. It's called, it's the Z sound, but it's really not totally a Z, but I don't want you to get too hung up on it. It's a Z sound. It's got a D-Z-E-E sound to it. Z. Do you hear it? Not just Z, like in buzz. It's like saying buzz. Okay? But if you can't do it, don't worry about it. And the letter, of course, is Zeta. Now, in Bible school, they call it Zeta. Why? Because they make number 7 a long A, and that is not correct. All right, Zeta. Sound as in zoo. Greek word on the end there is Zelos. Now, as far as writing it, you see the tail? Comes just below the bottom of the line. That's the way I write mine. I better get this and do it correctly. Boo, I'm not used to doing that. See how I do it? This is supposed to be a loop in here. One loop. I can't do that. Let me just do it the way I do it. Just learn what it looks like. That's all. Now, look at 6 and look at 14. They look similar, but what happened? 14 looks like an E with a tail, and 6 looks like C with a tail, okay? That's how you can tell the difference. Use all those little clues. Zeta, as in Zelos. I try to use words that you could transliterate or words that you may have heard before. Zelos, zeal. It's a word for jealousy or, in fact, for zeal. The next one is a long E, and it's pronounced ita. E as in easy. There's the lowercase. If you notice the E drops below the line just slightly. It'd be written like that. Just slightly below the line. And the illustration is imera, meaning day. Ita, then, long E. The capital looks like the English H. Okay? See, it's easy for the Greeks because they don't have a problem with saying, oh, that's the English H. They just see it as the Greek E. It isn't until they come to this country that they try to read English. You understand? You're going to have a problem with it because if you see something that starts with a capital H, or rather with a capital Ita, you're going to think it sounds like a H sound, as in the English H, and it's not. That's the capital. Or you're going to look at the lowercase, and it looks like the English what? N. But it's not. It's Ita. Okay? The next one is Theta, TH sound, Th. As in thing, TH, simple. So the Greek alphabet goes A, B, G, D, E, Z, E, T, H. See, there's no... You've got to remember we're dealing with Cyrillic. Forget English. Quit thinking English. Theta, as in Theos. Now, I'm glad I used Theos because there I forgot to put the capital in. next to theta, and there you have it in theos. And of course, the way it is written on a typewriter is it comes out like that, the capital H. You can write it. One is this way, all right? Another is just to go like this. What you're doing, in effect, is putting an O with a line through it. I do it this way because this looks too, well, it could be too easily misunderstood. Some Greeks actually go like that when they write it. You write it like so. Remember, we're printing. In the case of God, theos. Okay? Obviously, you make it bigger. You would do your lines. It would be over the top, as you would an English capital. The ninth word is iota. Now notice, some people call it iota, and that's not correct. And it's not iota or iota. It's iota. Now listen to it. Iota. Do you hear? I started with a sound. It's a very light hit, like in hit. Okay? Very light sound. My name, for example, in Greek is Ioannis. It sounds like Ioannis, but it's not. It's Ioannis. Do you hear the I at the beginning? And so what the Greeks do is they just simply shorten it and call it Yannis. So they don't have to like that. And for speaking the language, you want to drop out. You want to try to contract it, and so my contracted name is Yannis. The full name is actually Ioannis, or Ioannis. Hear it? It's in there. The I is in there. And what did I use? As in it. The illustration is idios. I suppose I could have used the word idiot as an illustration. There, it's very slight, right? Idiot. Hear it? You don't say idiot. Say idiot. It's kind of at the beginning. Very, very light. Iota. This is used as the I in a word. When it appears under a particular letter, it's simply called a subscript. And that's for grammatical reasons, which I'll give you later on in our study. You can have, for example, as I showed you before, you will have an omega, and it'll have an iota with a little tail, iota subscript. This is the one that, by the way, a lot of times I write like that. It looks like an L. This should be a little shorter. It should only be about that long. Iota, like that. But just don't go this way. Got a little tail on it. That's probably perfect. Okay? It's the I sound. The next one's the easiest of all, because it's KKK all the way across, as in Ku Klux Klan. Kappa. K in Greek, K in English. And there's, of course, those that want to be fancy again, and they get to the line, and so they want to go like that. Others want to bend it and go this way. Just draw K. Simple enough. The capital, of course, would be the capital K is in English. Use as many English letters as you can, because you'll not run into trouble that way. K, as in kit. Got a K sound. There's no C sound in Greek. You don't have the confusion of wondering whether C has an S sound or K. There is no such thing. The S is an S and it always has a S sound. The kappa is a K and it always has a K sound. All right? I should have mentioned this in the outset. There are no silent letters in Greek either. All letters in a word are pronounced. Illustration. Illustration. In English, we would transliterate this P-N-E, I forgot something here, E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. We pronounce it how? Pneumatico. Why? Because in English, we do not pronounce the P as in... Yeah. We say what? Psalm, right? The Greeks say psalm. Huh? We say psalm. We leave out the L and we leave out the P. It's psalma. That's a psalm. You see what I'm saying? No silent letters in Greek. All letters are pronounced. This would be pneumatikos. See? Pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. See? Not pneumatikos. Or pneuma for spirit. It's pneuma. See? Pneuma. Hear it? Okay. Next one is the L, and eventually you'll get to understand that one. It's the upside down V in capital form, and an upside down Y in lowercase. It's simply the L sound, L, like in lamb. The word that I have there, by the way, is from laleo. If you want to go back up to 10, I'll give you that sound too. Katharos. Hear it? Katharos. That means clean. Laleo means I speak. Number 12 is the M sound. Me. But you only pronounce it M. That's the phonetical sound, as in man. You have the M and the N, by the way, are the same as they are in English, except in the lowercase. The lowercase, it's a U with a tail, and I just drew that. And the other looks like a V, which is actually the N. The word I used there is from Marcos. Translated. Mark. Lucas, Matthios, Matthew, see? Ioannis. Thank you. Romanos, Romans. Okay. Apocalypsia. Apocalypsia. Apocalypsia, the revelation. That's where we get apocalypse from. You'll notice, too, by the way, I have no accents there and no breathing marks. I did that purposely, didn't want to confuse you. We'll pick that up later. All right, the me. Then the knee has an N sound, as in neat. The word I chose was nekros. By the way, not nepros. The lowercase R looks like the lowercase P in English. I can see some of you looking discouraged already. You're saying, hey, we've gone through 13 letters, and this is really cockeyed. No, it isn't. It's Cyrillic. It's not Roman. All right. 14, I hear more people that have had 3 to 4 years of Greek mispronouncing this simple letter. Here's what they say. Kasi. No, it's not Kasi. Kasi is K-A-S-E-E. It's not Kasi. It's Ksi. And the best way to do it is give the sound as if you were going to use an X, like an X-ray. Ksi. And it has a X sound. And if you notice, I think I put here, kss, as in kss, because we don't have that sound in English. Unless you leave the I out of kiss. Give me a kss. There's no sound like that. Can anybody think of any word in English that has a kss sound? KS sound. Anything, Bob? Huh? Yeah. Over the hair lip. Yeah, I know. Ksi. All right? Just ksi, not ksi. And I had to correct somebody just recently on that. I said, it is not ksi, it's ksi. I said, oh. As in, see, this person would have a problem pronouncing the vocabulary word there. They would say ksenos. No, it's ksenos. Laurie, what's a ksenos? Ksenine. Stranger. Foreign. Fifteen. Omicron. Omicron. It's a O sound, a very short O. And there's where I forgot to put what it was, so if you'll write in there, short. You'll find that depending upon what part of the country a person has learned their Greek, that will determine how they pronounce this letter. And I've used this illustration many times, you'll have to put up with it again. West Coast. How do we pronounce that? West Coast. Dog. We have a ah sound to it. Okay? Ah sound. But it's an O. East Coast. Dog. That's right. Now you laugh. You want to see how I laughed at you when I came here. What is this, Doug's? And it sounded like Doug. It's so over-accentuated to the ear of somebody who's been listening to Doug. Okay? In, well, good illustration. In Scotland, L-O-O-K. Luke. Look at that. We say, look. Right? We don't go, ooh. So we have problems with other people's pronunciation as well. Here's one I love to play with. Say it, if you're from the South. Permissible, because that's the way you say everything. He said to me. But S-A-I-D, we pronounce said. We give this a short sound. So again, it depends on what part of the country you're from. So if you learn Greek in the East Coast, they're going to say Omicron. If you learn it in the West Coast or Arizona, they say Omicron, like an ah sound. Terrible. It's like O, Omicron. Okay? And you'll find it, incidentally, quite universal. If you travel throughout Greece, there isn't that much of a variant. There are variations of different words. They'll use words as slang. And those I have difficulty with. Especially Cretans. Then there's a certain island where they speak a very strange Greek that nobody understands except those Greeks. Oddly enough, they can understand mainland Greeks, but nobody can understand them. All right, Ksi. Notice, by the way, the capital Ksi. You'll very rarely see that. It's three lines. But the lowercase looked like an E with a tail on it. And so if you were writing it, it would simply, oops, like that. Just the little loop, this should have come down like that. Okay? Boom, boom, boom. See, when I'm writing Greek, I go like this. But if I did that, you wouldn't know what I'm doing. So you go, It's like you're going to start a regular E, right? There's your E, and then a little tail on it. That's the Ksi. Omicron is like an O, and so you don't have any problem with that. Capital is O, small case, a lowercase O. The word I use there is Orgi. That means wrath. Now, all of you took math. And you had this, right? And what did it tell you? Is that right? Pi r squared. Now, I remember the first time I heard that, I say, no, it's p r squared. Because this is the Greek letter p, not pi. And I said, this is a pi. P rho squared. All right. Sorry about that. Don't worry about the pronunciation except the phonetical sound, p. Like in Paul, like in person, like in pathos. Pathos meaning what? Compassion, pity, the like. 17. Rho. Now it looks like the English P in the capital form. It looks like the English P in the lowercase, but it's pronounced rr. If you can't roll your R, don't worry about it. You just go rr, like you're growling. It's raw, as in rr, raw. Okay? I cannot say three without rolling my R's. Three of them. Hear it? I can't say it. Now, when I was in New York, it was easy because in New York, there is not three of them, there's three of them. So you see, no problem. Ro, as in rose. Rose. And I use the word riza, which is root. I guess I was thinking rather florally at this point. 18, sigma. Phonetical sound, s, like in sat. Now notice the lowercase. You have two of them. One is called a middle S, the other is called a final S. So if you're reading a sentence and there's no spaces in the words, how would you know when the word ended? You'd look for the final S. The sigma, this will always be used in the middle of a sentence. It'll never be used to finalize a word. This will never be used in the middle of a word, but rather, oh, and I said sentence before word, but will always be used to terminate a word. For instance, if I was writing cosmos, cause, mos, it would be incorrect to write cause, mos, because this is the middle S, this is the final S. Now the final S is easy to identify because it looks like ours, but this, of course, doesn't look anything like our S. It looks more like an O. So it's K, Ko, K, O, Sigma, Mi, Omicron, Sigma. And see, if that way, if you start another word right next to it, in the Greek mind, he'd already divide it. Because he'd see that final S, he knows that's the end of the word. And it was very important, of course, obviously, in the original writings, because there was no spaces between the words. But they were all in caps, and the cap form of the sigma is the same in both the middle and the final. What does it look like in English? Cap form. E. You see it? I'm at 18, by the way, if I've lost any of you by this time. 20. Ypsilon. Sound E. Long E again. Now, sometimes This letter, when it's combined with other letters, will have an U sound. But be careful, it's got to be combined. Like an O and a U, an Omicron and an Epsilon come out U. Why? Try to say it. O-Yi? Well, you got a problem. Epsilon, as in evolve. I love this one. You want to hear Bible school pronunciation of that word? Huios. Greek, yos. What's a yo, by the way? A son. Yos tou theou, son of God. Twenty-one is phi, PH sound, as in phone. And I kind of played there because I used the word phony, not phony. Phony meaning sound or voice. Tele means to transmit or to put across. And when you combine the two together, you have telephono, and we simply call that a telephone. Telegraphy, telegraph. Greek words, by the way. 22, there's a rough one. He, as in H, not CH. Look at this one. Bible school, ch. Wrong. Charis. No. Charis. Okay? It's a H sound. This is the way you would transliterate it. Charis. Charika. When two people meet, I was overjoyed. Our meeting was graceful. Chara, meaning joy. Not chara. So it's he. It looks like the Greek X. Excuse me, the English X. 23. Psi, P-S. Ps. You know what I was going to put here? I was going to put ps as in ps. You know, when you want somebody's attention, you go ps. Right? Well, that's basically what it sounds like, ps, as in psi. The word I chose there, by the way, is psephthis. Psephthis is somebody who is a liar or false. What do we do with this? P-S-E-U-D-O. Pseudo, see? We leave out the ps. We say pseudo. It's psephtho. 24, omega. Looks like the English W in the lowercase, and of course in the uppercase it stands by itself. Again, O as in open. Now this is a long O, and it's drawn out a bit. Remember the 15 was a short O. This is O. Omega. Okay? The other is O. Micron. It's a little one. Just kind of pops out. Omega. Omicron. Excuse me. Omega. Omicron. O and O. Now down at the bottom, I've got the diphthongs. Diphthongs are a combination of two vowels that have, when they combine, a sound. The Omicron iota comes out E, like in easy. The alpha ypsilon, right next to it, has two sounds. It either comes out off. You know, I missed one. I missed 19. T, tough. I can talk. Of course, there you have English all the way across, so you have no problem there. Technas, the Greek word meaning child. All right. A, alpha, Ypsilon Av or Alpha Ypsilon Av. A-V. Depending upon how it's used, I'll show you the rule later. I don't have to worry about it now. Those are the two sounds. Then we have the Epsilon, Ypsilon combined, and it comes out Ev, E-V. The perfect illustration of that is, and it's interesting, they teach it this way. They teach this sound as an oo sound, and yet when you transliterate the Greek word evangelion, how does it come out? Evangel, and we give it a v sound in English, and yet when they teach the Greek language, they teach it as an oo sound. We don't say evangelio, right? Here, ev, and ah, there's the next diphthong in your list. Double gammas come out ng, ng. Therefore, this word here, I'm going to play with it, okay? What's the word? Angel, or angel. See? A-N-G-E-L. That's not the way they would write it, of course. They'd write it that way, because Greeks love to put os's on the end. The accents. I listed them for you. The rough breathing. And this is used with vowels. In the introduction, for example, of a capital, it'll go before it. That's the rough breathing. These are simply used in punctuation, not in pronunciation. When they teach this in Bible schools, they teach this as a rough breathing with an H sound. In modern Greek, there's no difference. In lowercase, it's above it. That's the rough. That's the smooth. It's simply used for pronunciation, rather for grammatical reasons. The same thing with the other accent, this. Now that means as you're pronouncing the word, wherever you see the accent, you accentuate that part of the word. Okay? For instance, gra ma ti kon. All right? Now, watch. Grammaticon. Where would the accent be? Suppose it was here. It'd be grammaticon. Suppose it was here. It'd be grammaticon. Okay? There's a rule for this. I'm not going to bother you with it. Just remember, when you see the accent, that's where you hit it. And the language, apparently, at one time, this was even used in its music, so that the accent, wherever the accent occurred, that's where the voice would come up in singing. Later, of course, it just simply meant you accentuate it as you would, as I pointed out. The circumflex is the little squiggle over the top, over an omega, a diphthong, okay? If it's over a word, this is too big. It would appear like that. Sometimes you'll see it just like this, same thing. Whether it's this or this, it's a circumflex. And if you see it this way, what is it telling you it's doing? Suppose you see it like that, what does it tell you it's doing, combining the two together? If you see this, smooth breathing is there, that's a diphthong. If you see this and it's here, then these two letters have to be pronounced separately. It's not a diphthong. The accent the breathing mark will always come over the diphthong at the second part of the diphthong, or the vowel over the vowel itself. The exception, capitals, where it would begin it, like this. Conceivably, you can even have this, an accent and a breathing mark at the beginning, or over the top. Oops. Here's a small O, like that. It simply tells you it's accentuated here, and it's a smooth breathing. That's it. Notice I have the accents going in two directions because you'll see that when you're reading the Greek text. Means nothing except for grammar. As far as pronouncing the word, you pronounce it the same, whether the accent's going this way or that way. You raise.